Let us continue in the outer court. After the burn offering, we have the basin, the laver, and it is also from the so-called copper or bronze in English. So the Lord showed us in VC how important it is, how important our body is. And maybe we can read together in the beginning, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. There's, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Although we have often used and read this verse, it was new to me to see, what are we being judged for? These things we have done by the body, not by our spirit or soul, but it is what we are doing with our body. That is when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If we stand there, he will ask us, what have you done with your body? So this verse alone has to show us how important is your body. And if our life today is over, we can do nothing more what will count before this judgment. So we have to take Christ this today as our consecration, as our burnt offering, to say, Lord, my body should serve you. And wherever we need judgment, and we see in this whole area before the tent, there's a lot of judgment, and we need this. So today we have to gain all this copper, apply it, and if we have it this today, then we will have a lot of boldness to come before the Lord. But if we don't apply this copper today, then we will have judgment when we come there. So praise the Lord, let us really gain this and take it. Also, what we saw in Romans 6 and 7, how it proceeded. The body of sin and the body of death. And then later in Romans 12, it's a living body, a holy body, a holy sacrifice, well-pleasing, even well-pleasing to God. I realize I have to rethink my picture of my body. I was quite negative. I thought, okay, I have a flesh and it's corrupted. And that's true. From nature, it is corrupted. But if we're going through this whole process of sanctification, what we see in the tabernacle, in the end, in Romans 12, you see our body is a living, holy sacrifice for the Lord. So it shows our body is not unimportant, but it is very important. And if you continue in Romans 12, you see a lot of things why you have to give your body today for the Lord. And if you have the question, how can you sanctify your body? Then you have to look at what is happening in the tabernacle, especially in this outer court. And there you see the burnt offering altar, and now we want to have a look at this copper, at this copper basin, laver. Maybe we can read together. This is Second Moses is Exodus 30:17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "You shall make a lavern of bronze with its base of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle for meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it. When they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near to the altar, minister to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and to descendants through their generations.
Lob den Herrn für das kupferne Becken.
Praise the Lord for this laver. Copper laver, bronze laver, is a basin.
2. Mose 38, Vers 8. Ich könnte das auch noch lesen. Da steht
and Exodus 28.
2. Mose 38, Vers 8.
Exodus 38, Vers 8. And he made the laver of bronze. And its base of bronze. From the bronze mirror of the serving woman who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So we say this laver, this basin, is not only what material is, but also where did the material come from. So this bronze was from the mirrors of the serving woman. Meaning, it was actually also a big mirror, one big mirror. If you come to this basin, then you look into a big basin. And it's like in every bathroom. And usually if you go into a bathroom, you see a mirror and you see the dirt, so you know where to clean. And similar here, this basin, this laver is full of mirrors. It's a mirror. It's good for us to see. When we come to this basin, God wants to show us our condition. Else we will not have a feeling, awareness, how unclean we are. So once you walk to this basin, you will see in the bronze yourself, your condition. This is the first thing you see. And I want to read Isaiah to you. Isaiah 64, verse 5.
Und alle unsere Gerechtigkeit wie ein schmutziges Gewand. Wir sind alle verwelkt.
It's sick in English, but we are all like unclean things, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And this is concerning every human being, whether Christians or not. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. So why does the Lord show us this image, this in the mirror? Not because he wants to condemn us, but he wants to save us. And he knows if we do not understand how our condition, we will not take it serious. We will think, oh, we're believers, we're clean, we're already fine. We already went through Christ, we are born again, we believe in him. But still, there's this basin. And this is there because we need a deeper, more truth of cleansing, washing. And in James 1, there's also this verse to show us what it means. James 1, 21. To 25 shows us more about this space and what it means for us today. So James 1:21, therefore laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is hearer from the word and not doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Like a normal man who sees himself in the mirror, huh? For he who observes himself goes away and immediately forgets what is behind him. And he says here that we should look into the perfect law of liberty and continue and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. He is will be blessed in his what he does. So if we just look in the mirror but are not a doer of the word, there's no change. But 25 shows us what is the mirror. It's the perfect law of liberty. The word of God is for those who not only hear it but also do it, is a perfect law of liberty. It makes us free. And this mirror is the word of God. Hasn't this been often your experience? How often you read the word, come to the Lord, and you not only see the Lord, but you also see your own condition. It's a mirror. I had this experience often. I read the word, and I saw the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's so encouraging. But then I also saw my condition, that I'm still very corrupt and unclean. And that's why James says it is a righteous word of making us free. As Paul is also mentioning in Romans 7, verse 7 says, I would not have known the sin, only through the law I got to know the sin. So without this mirror, we wouldn't even realize we are sinners and what uncleanses and hidden things are in our heart. Romans 7, verse 12 says the law is holy, good, and well. So if you look into this law, you see Christ is wonderful. He's holy, he's righteous, and good. But I am not like this. I need salvation. And this is also this mirror of the copper that we see. And James shows us, if we just look into this mirror and then we go away and we forget about what we saw, that is not good. That's not good. This sometimes happens. You come to the word, I read it, the Lord shows me something, what he doesn't like, what he wants to change in me. But then instead of going and working together, washing myself, I just leave the basin and the next day I forgot about it. On that day where I saw it, I was touched. And said, oh, Lord, I have to change this. But one day later, 2 days later, it's forgotten. If I go like this with what the Lord shows me, then I'm a forgetful hearer of the word. This should not be like this, but we should be those who keep it and do it. And this is a meaning how we can gain spiritually copper today. We've now spoken about copper, and yesterday evening our brother encouraged us. It's not about knowing what it means, but the question is, how much copper do we have in our church? How much copper did I win? How much judgment did I apply to my life? And this is the question. I come to the word as to this mirror, and I really go worthy with the Lord what he shows me. I want to take it.
And
not only to say, Lord, that's the way I am. Lord, forgive me. It makes a difference if I just say, Lord, forgive me. Or if I tell the Lord, Lord, I want to judge this. I judge this through you who has carried my judgment. I condemn it. I don't want this, and I want it to go away. And I want to fight until it's gone. This is important to wash in this mirror, to see this at this mirror. We've experienced when we read, for example, Matthew 5, the constitution of the kingdom. Didn't it show us all how far we are from his level? But still not be condemned, but tell the Lord, Lord, help me. I want to be like this constitution. I want to be there, and I want to judge what is not like that. Praise the Lord. Amen. If we do it like this and take judgment in our life, we will gain this copper. And it's good that there's a lot of copper in our church life. Praise the Lord for this. And then it continues with a basin. Where was it located? It was set up between the tabernacle tent and the altar. And wherefore? It was therefore that the priests would wash their hands and their feet before they go serving. So it was mentioned, and a few times mentioned, hands and feet. And you also have in John this example, you know, where the Lord Jesus wanted to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter said, no, 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 I don't want this. And then the Lord Jesus told him, if I don't do this, you have no part of me. Then Peter said, okay, I want to have a lot of part of you. Wash everything. And the Lord says, that's not necessary. Maybe you can read it here. Peter said to him, you shall never wash. Nine. Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He who bathed needs only to wash his feet, but it's complete clean. It's complete clean, and you are clean. So it shows with being born again, we were cleansed. And in this way, the first step you see also in this basin, the picture of the baptism. The first time, you're being completely cleansed. But this you don't have to repeat again and again, because he says you are now already cleansed by the word I've spoken to you. But this does not mean you don't have to wash yourself anymore. But you see, you have to again and again, even daily, wash your hands and feet. Why? Because our hands and feet are this, what touches the things in this world. That's what the Lord said. We've been born again, and we have been set with Christ into the heavens. But still, we live in this world, and our body, and so we have contact with the things of this world. Even back then in the tabernacle, you cannot, your feet will still get dusty. No matter what you do in the desert, your feet will get dusty. But we see around this tabernacle is a separation. And the priest cannot just walk in and start to serve. This is not acceptable for God. But he says very clearly, you should sanctify, you should wash your hands and your feet, that you may not die. If they don't wash their hands and feet, they will die. That's so important. To come to the Lord, you have to do this purification, to wash yourself. And we have put quite some verses here from Isaiah into the outline. where you can see our hands and feet are unclean. We touch many things of this world. We walk around in this world. Sometimes you can't do anything against it. It's just dust where you walk, dust on your feet. I thought, sometimes if you come to the meetings in the evening, maybe you know this, you haven't done any sin, you know, but you realize I'm somehow dusty on my feet. So dusty. And I need some purification. And this is what the Lord wants to show us here. If we come into his house to serve, don't just walk in and start serving. Come to the Lord and tell him, Lord, wash me. I want to wash my hands and my feet. I don't want to touch with my earthly hands your holy things. And two things are really mentioned here before they enter into the holy. They had to enter every day, mornings and evenings, to put on the candle on the lampstand. And we will see this tomorrow. Every time before they go into the tent, they have to wash hands and feet. But also before going to the burnt offering altar. And even though the burnt offering altar, if you look at the whole picture, it is before the basin. But they have to go to the basin before they can serve on the altar. And this was also my experience. Saturday evening, I want to collect my spiritual offering for the next Sunday. I cannot just sit down and write it down, just doing it. No, I need some cleansing. I have to come to the Lord and wash myself. The same if we go on the Sunday to the feast meeting. Don't just go in there as you are, full with dust on your hand and feet from this whole week. But first, go to the basin and tell the Lord, Lord, now wash me from all earthly things there were. Where things stick to me that are not well-pleasing to you, wash it away. And this, brothers and sisters, we have to take serious. Don't just go to the holy place as you are. Maybe let's read together Isaiah chapter 1. This is a warning for us to see what happens if we don't take care, if we just walk in without washing our hands and feet. So Isaiah 1 from verse 11. The Lord says to his people, what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice to me? Showing they have brought many things on the altar here. But God says, I have enough of your burnt offerings and rams and the feast of your cattle. I do not delight in them. 12. When you come to appear before me, who has required from you hands to trample my courts? Those people went to the right place. They went to the tabernacle. They went to his place, to the right place, and they did serve what they should. But the Lord says, you're trampling my courts. Why? Because the feet is not clean. 13, he continues, bring not fertile sacrifices, innocence and abomination to me. He cannot endure this iniquity. I'm tired, I'm weary of bearing them. In 15, when you spread your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you are praying all these prayers to me, I will not hear. Why? Your hands are full of blood. When I read this a few days ago, I got a shock. How far can it go, even though we are serving the Lord in his house and we're not taking care of washing our hands and feet? feet. This is a warning. You might come into the meeting, into the burnt offering altar. You are in this holy place and you're trying to do all these services. You are in the church, you go to the meetings, you pray every day. But if you don't take care of washing your hands and feet, it can be that is so far as it is here in chapter 1. You can pray as much, but the Lord will not listen. So the Lord even says, if you don't do this in Moses, he says, you will die. And this is spiritual death in Isaiah 1. You have no feeling anymore. Spiritual death. So that's why verse 16 is important. Let's read this. Wash yourselves. Make yourself clean. Put away the evil from your doings before my eyes. Stop doing evil. So this washing is not a very superficial washing. It is, goes very deep. It's not only about forgiveness, but it's about dealing with the things and getting rid of them. Especially if you're in the church of the living God, we don't want to be like Sardis, a death church. If you don't wash your hands, you will die. You are one church, you come together, but you're a death church. And this would be really horrible. Therefore, let us really take this basin, this serious, washing. So what is in the basin? Living and pure water, not for drinking, but for washing. We read in Exodus 30:18, put a basin for washing. And of course, water, there's different meanings of water in the scripture. There's also water of drinking, but this basin for sure is read that it is for washing. And the Lord showed me, often when I think about water in the Bible, I only think about drinking the Lord. But I never had this clearness that is also there to wash myself, to wash my hands and feet, to take away the iniquity. Yeah, it is so good to drink the Lord as our supply, but we also have to see the washing. Ephesians 5, you know this one. Ephesians 5:25. Christ has loved the church and gave himself for her. Wherefore? That he may sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing by the water, by the word. Washing of the water by the word. And this is this copper, this is bronze basin. So it's not only a mirror, but it's also water. The word is the mirror and the water. This is so wonderful, this word of the Lord. It is, on the one hand, a mirror showing us what we're, condition we are. But then it is also the pure water that can also change this condition. The Lord would just give us a mirror and we see, but not a solution to get rid of it. That would be not good. But here we have a washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. This laver, this basin, makes us gives us a practical way to be without fault and without blemish, to be pure. Praise the Lord for this way through the outer court. Yeah, let us go and not only to get life. Life is good, but life is also it's a cleansing life. The Word of God is living and sharp, and it pierces through. So this life of the Word of God is also piercing through and separating in our inner. And this is how we have to experience the Word. It should not be only our refreshness, our refreshing Word. That's one part. But we should also learn at the basin to take this water, to cleanse ourselves daily. The morning when you come to the Word, ask the Lord, Lord, cleanse me and wash me by the washing in the Word. And not only individual, but we read it's for his whole church. Not just a church, any church, but a glorious church. In Revelation 2 and 3, you see a lot of churches, but with most of them, the Lord was not satisfied with their condition. So we want to get this goal. And as long as the Lord hasn't reached this goal with us, we have to continue daily to take time at this basin. Lord, this is also among each other. With the feet, washing of the feet is not only for you, but it's also for the others. We should wash each other's feet, spiritual. Praise the Lord. Full of love to each other, to take away this dust, the uncleanness of this world. The Lord wants to have a wonderful church. And we see at this water, the Lord wants to wash away everything what is not holy. Wrinkles show there's something old. What about old habits? Old habits. Can the Lord wash those old habits out of your life? It's not only about spots, but it's also about wrinkles. Everything where we have old traditions in the church, traditions that you keep and not, yeah, but by this water of the basin, you can get rid of these. No matter how long, how old these wrinkles are, this basin gives us a way to get rid even of those strongest wrinkles. He will take away and purify us and make us new. Praise the Lord for this wonderful word. We all need daily a washing in the Word. And it doesn't mean we have to read now 2 hours in the Bible to have bathed. No, we need the Spirit together with the Word. If you only take the letter, Corinthians says, it even kills. But the Spirit gives life. And the words he spoke are Spirit and are life. So whenever you come to this Word, you come to the Lord. We know this is not to separate. The Lord himself is the water of life. He's our basin. He shows us, and we come to him, that he speaks with the Word and the Spirit. He cleanses and purifies us. And this water also takes away death. He said that you may not die, cleansing us from death and giving us resurrection life. From our death, from our body of sin and death, being a body well-pleasing to the Lord. So what happens between Romans 6 and then Romans 12? In between is all this basin and the altar and all these things that our body may be sanctified. And we should take this serious, that we everybody ask the Lord, Lord, give me a desire for deeper purification. I don't want to be just on the surface. I want to go deep. Like the psalm writer in 139, Lord, seek my heart. Test my heart. Seek every way and purify me through and through. Then we can come forward. That is in the end of the outline, number 5, that the preconditions to go into the holy place, we need the burnt offering altar and the water, and then we need the holy priest garments. So praise the Lord. There's everything prepared in the outer court, what we need to go further into the holy place. There's blood and water. Blood to take away sin and unrighteousness, and water to wash us from death, from spots and wrinkles. We need both of them. One is not enough. That's why when the Lord died, says in John 19:30, says when the soldier pierced his sides, immediately blood and water came out. That's why you need both. You need the altar with the blood, and you need the water basin. And maybe let's read this together. Hebrews 10:22. About blood and water. So let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience, that's the blood, and our bodies washed with the pure water. This is the basin, the laver. The way is free into the holy place, but you cannot just run in there. It's free, but we still must take what Christ did. Some of us may be taught before that we don't need the things in the outer court. The way is free, just run in. But that's not what the New Testament here in Hebrews shows us. It says, yes, we have the way, and let's go forward, but don't skip the station, else you will die. Spiritual today for us is the same. We all have the way, and it's a new and living way. Our heart is sprinkled with the blood from evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.